Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Yud Tet Amud Aleph, four lines down. Gemara asks, Man Tana, the Hadi Tana Rabbanan, who is the author of this position that we find? Isha Shinadra bin Nazir. A woman took another Nazirut, Vin Nitma'ah, and then she became Tme'ah, V'achar Kach Hefer La Ba'ala. After that, her husband nullified the neder that she took. Toswot said, "V'nitma'ah v'frisha shtei torim echad ola v'echad chadat v'asham beima levi korbanot nazir tamei v'achar kach hefer la bala." So the Toswot suggests here that she's already taken her korbanot, segregated, separated out her korbanot, and then her husband nullifies it. So that would mean that she's already been makdish these animals for this purpose. Others suggest that even without that, the question is, what does she do in this case? Because she became a Nizira Tmeah, but her husband nullified it. So she will never complete this Nizirut, because the nullification of her husband prevents her from finishing the Nizirut Bitara. On the other hand, she did have an issue while she was a Nizira, that she became a Nizira Tmeah. So what do we do in this case? So the Braita says, Miviah Chatat Ha'of, Ve'ena Miviah Olat Of. So this is an unexpected type of outcome, which is, the Braita says, she brings the chatat of, but she does not bring the olat of. Normally, you would expect just the opposite. Ola, in general, can be brought as a voluntary offering, and therefore, why not bring the olat of? Chatat of, when only comes on specific chataim, or in specific instances, if you fail to meet the criteria, then you shouldn't bring it. But we get just the opposite here, which is, she brings the chatat of, but does not bring the olat of. Amar Rav Chista, Rabbi Ishmael hi. So Rav Chista says, we just had Rav Chista before giving us the attribution for other brightot. We had the Machokas Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So over there Rav Chista gave us the attribution. Over here again, Rav Chista says the attribution over here is Rabbi Ishmael. Rabbi Ishmael, who we saw in yesterday's brighta that we brought down, with regards to what is Me'akev, in terms of starting the Nizirut B'Tahara. And Rabbi Shmuel over there said that all of the items are Me'akev, except that we have this Miut from the word Bayomahu to say that if you don't bring your Olah, then you're still okay. So Rabbi Shmuel believes that technically you need to bring all three Korbanot to start your Nizirut B'Tahara, but because we had that Bayomahu, it gives you a dispensation with regards to the Olah. The Chachamim there argued on Rabbi Shmuel and said that you didn't need a pasuk for that, because an olah is just a doron ba'alma. It's just a gift. So what the pasuk has to tell you, that if you don't bring it, then you're not a nazir b'tahara, or you didn't finish a nazir b'tumah, that's not necessary. What Rabbi Chista is suggesting over here is that Rabbi Shmuel is the author of this position. Now that it can be for one of two reasons. The Mefaresh brings the possibility that dealer abonan, lo itstrich le mitnei sheinu mevi olah tov. By the Rabbanan, you don't have to tell me she doesn't bring an olah tov. Da amrinan olah tov lo me'akva. You told us already that olah tov is not me'akev. So according to the Chachamim, it's obvious that you don't have to bring the olah tov. You don't need a specific miut to tell you not to bring the olah tov. On the other hand, for Rabbi Shmuel, where olah tov is part of the obligation, and only because of a miut is not me'akev. But in general, we would see this as part of the obligatory korbanot that you bring when you are a Tamei. So to over here, that's why we would have thought that she brings the Olat Ha'of. And the Braita comes to tell you, don't bring that Olat Ha'of. That's one way that Mefresh explains it. Tosafot gives a different explanation, and then the Mefresh himself in a second, in a Lashon Acher, also brings this similar explanation, which is, Olat Nazir, Lav Doronku, V'Kapara Tluya Ba. For Rabbi Shmuel, the olat ha'of is part of the kapara process. So it's not like a nidava, and that's why the Braita tells you don't bring it. According to the Chachamim, who say that it's simply a doron, then why not bring it? What's the big deal in bringing it? Because it's like any other olat nidava that you could bring anyway. Those are the two different approaches to why it might be Rabbi Shmuel. Either the first one in the Mefaresh, which is, only according to Rabbi Shmuel would you need a specific exclusion, because the Olah has significance. And in the second explanation of the Mefaresh, as well as the explanation of Tosafot, the Ola for the Chachamim, you could bring anyway. Why not bring it? So the only one who would have a reason not to bring the Ola is Rabbi Shmuel, because it acts as a Mechaper, it acts as Kapara, which she cannot do in this case. But then, you have to understand, why is the Chatat Ov not the same as the Ola Ov? So my Kasavar, what does he hold, Rabbi Shmuel? Ika Sabar, Baal Mi Akar, Akar. If he believes that the Baal, similar to Atarat Nedarim, undermines the Neder, Mi Ikaro, from the beginning, the Mafreya undermines it. Chatat Ov, Namilo Laiti. Why would you have to bring a Chatat Ov? The Neder doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't exist anymore. There's no reason to bring an Olah. There's also no reason to bring a Chatat Ov. Ika Sabar, Baal Migas Gais. If you think that the husband terminates prospectively the neder. Again, the Gemara is going to ask this question as a question in the upcoming Dapim, but here the Gemara just gives you the two tzadim of what the possibility of how Hafarat HaBaal works. Does it work by undermining it like a Hatarat Nedarim from the beginning, or does it work prospectively to eliminate the neder? As we said before in Nedarim, that Hafarah might work by simply negating or mitigating the Isurim. The Neder might still be there, but the Isurim are gone. And that's what it might mean, Migas Gais. Now, Ola Ta'of, Nami Laite. If he's only Migas Gais, that means that she wasn't Izira, she became Tmeah, and she should be obligated in these Korbanot, especially according to Tosafot, who said she already separated out the Korbanot. Why not bring the Ola? Even according to Rabbi Shmuel, when it says, Lolam Kasavar, Baal Mi'akar Akar. Believes that the husband is oker the neder meikaro. Rabbi Shmuel Sovela ki Rabbi Elazar hakapar. So he mentioned this in yesterday's daf. You've seen this before a number of times. Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Elazar hakapar. The Tanya Rabbi Elazar hakapar barabi omer mata malomar. What is it meant in the pasuk that's found in the parshiyah nazir tamei v'chiper alav meyasher chatal anofish? That he has to get kapara for the fact that he has a chait with regards to a nefesh. B'chi be'ezu nefesh chatazeh. Which nefesh did this person sin with? Now the nature of the question is basically against the pshat of the pasuk. Pshat of the pasuk seems to say that the kapara is coming to deal with the nefesh. Nefesh is the deceased or the tumat hamet that he came into contact with. But the question derives either from the fact that the parsha begins v'chi yamut alav v'peta pitom, which means that even if it happens v'ones, the person is still subject to the rules over here. So then why would he need kapara? He didn't do anything wrong. It was out of his control that it happened to him. Nevertheless, we say v'chi per alav. Or if it's contextually within the parsha of Nazir Tameh, obviously v'chi per alav mesher chatal nefesh. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about tumat hamet. So for either of those two reasons, Rabbi Elazar Kapar says, V'chi be'ezu nefesh chatazeh, ela, shitzir atzmo min hayayin. The nefesh over here is not the tumat hamet to the mate, but rather the nazir themselves, the individual themselves. And what chait do they have? That they deny themselves the wine. V'kal v'chomer, umazeh lo shitzir atzmo min hayayin. This individual who only withheld or restricted himself in wine, nikra chuteh, is called a sinner. Someone who takes on even a more ascetic type of lifestyle where they deny themselves pleasures of the world, then certainly that's considered to be a chuteh. This is actually brought in the Gemara and Tanit in an argument of whether taniyot, taking fasts or having fast days, are positive or negative. Do we view that as being someone who is denying themselves of olam hazeh l'shem shamayim and therefore it's positive? Or do we view it negatively, like the extension from Nazir, which is, just like by the Nazir, when you deny yourself wine, the Torah views that unfavorably, so too by a Tanit, which would be even for more things, the Torah would have a negative view of such a thing. Again, it's a machloket amoraim in Tanit, as to whether a fast day is a good thing or a bad thing. And it derives from this same question about Nazir, whether abstaining from the wine is viewed positively or negative. Wait a minute. This pasuk is written by a Nazir Tameh. It's not written by a Nazir in general. If you're correct about the fact that the problem here is that it's here at the moment, then the Chatat or the Kapara should be mentioned not only by a Nazir Tamei, but also by a Nazir Tahor. Banan, afil Nazir Tahor kamrinan. And we're talking about even a Nazir Tahor. Kasava Rabbalazar Kapar, Nazir Tahor, nami chutehu. Rabbalazar Kapar believes that a Nazir Tahor is also a chuteh. Behind Utaimo dichtib Nazir Tamei. Why is it then specifically mentioned by Nazir Tamei? Hoel vishana bechet. He has a double chet. Now, either the double chet is that he was not nizhar min atuma. So not only did he tzir atzmo min ayayin, denying himself the wine, but he also didn't take care not to become tamei. So that's one way to learn it. The Mefarish mentions that. Tosafot over here mentions the fact that he now just doubled his nizirut, or he extended his nizirut. So by a nazir tamei, he's extending the period of time in which he's going to have to be tzir atzmo min ayayin, because when he becomes tamei, it's okay, the days before, and now he's going to have to keep these rules for a longer period of time. So shana b'chet means he has a longer duration of nizirut that causes the problem. We've also seen earlier with regards to Shimon HaTzadik, the problem by the Nazir Tamei was Toal HaRishonim, that he's going to start to regret having taken the nizirut, and he won't have the proper intentions or the Shem Shemayim, which also could be an issue with the Nazir Tamei, because the duration gets extended beyond what he thought he was going to have to keep. So for that reason, it's written inside of Nazir Tamei, but it's applicable for Nazir Tamei and a Nazir Tahor, according to Rabbi Elazar Kapar. And then a Nazir is a Choteh, and that's why he brings a Chatat Ta'of, but Nazir Tamei. Now, what does that do for us now? So then, why does this woman bring a Chatat Ta'of? She was a Nazira, but her husband nullified it. So why does she still bring a Chatat Ta'of? So Tosafot over here mentions, and we know this from other places in Shas, that a Chatat Ta'of is brought even ala safek. That a Chatat Ta'of is this unusual korban, because it's a korban chuva, and in general with a korban chuva, you must be obligated to bring the korban. If you're not obligated to bring the korban, we don't allow you to bring the korban because of the risks of chulin bazara, and then the kohanim eating from the korban. If it's not an olah, we don't allow you to bring those types of korbanot. The one exception to that rule is the chatat of, which comes ala safek. We find other places where some obligated in a chatat of will bring it ala safek. It won't be eaten, but it will be brought ala safek. So that's first and foremost. The chatat of can be brought on a safek. So over here, we have a lower threshold for allowing her to bring the chatat of. Now, together with the fact that Rabbi Elazar Kapar says she is a chuteh, because she tzir atzma min ayayin, she withheld from herself, abstained from wine. Therefore, I put those two together, the chatat of that's bala safek. Plus, she is a chota by the fact that she tzir atzma min ayayin. So if I put those together, it would say that she brings the chatat of, even though her husband undermined the neder or was okir the neder through his hafara. Now, Tosafot points out, this is only true by someone who became Tamei. That if you weren't Tamei, we don't just allow you to bring a Chatat Ta'of in that case, because Tzirat Tzmon HaMayayin. So you really have a combination of a number of items that allow her to bring the Chatat Ta'of in this instance. First and foremost, again, is that a Chatat Ta'of is Bala Safek. Number two is the fact that she's Tzirat Tzmon HaMayayin. She denied herself or abstained from wine, which makes her into a Choteh. And number three is, because she became Tamei while she was in Nazira, which precipitated the possibility of bringing this Chatat, if I combine all of those three together, we tell her bring the Chatat Ta'of, even though, again, don't bring the Olat Ta'of and don't bring the Asham, but the Chatat Ta'of we let you bring because of the combination of these three items. And now the Gemara goes back to discussing the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says, Yatza v'nichnas olom lo minay minyan. That if he goes out and comes back into the Beit HaKvarot, then he already started his Nizirut B'Tahara. Gemara says, Tani olim lo min haminyan, mishum diatza chalalei Nizirut. Just because he walked out of the Beit HaKvarot, he can start his Nizirut? This guy is Tamei to Matameit. What do you mean he can just start his Nizirut? Now, according to the Rambam, it might be a little easier because he has Tumat Beit HaKvarot. That's withholding from him. So maybe just walking out is enough of a reason. And actually, that's the Shita of Rav in the Yerushalmi, that as soon as you leave the Beit HaKvarot, then already your Nizirut is Chal, even though you're not Tahor. Because just by simply leaving the Beit HaKvarot, you've lowered the Tumah level, and that already gives you access. Now again, that would work much better according to the Rambam, where you're not Tamei, Tumat Meit. Amar Shmuel, Kiyon Shiyatza, Vihiza, Vishana, Vitaval. This is what we had said when we read the Mishnah. It's a case where he left. He had Hazaah of the Efer Parah Duma on Yom HaShlishi. Shana, he did it again on Yom HaShvi'i. Taval, he went to the Mikveh. So he's mitaher himself in the Tumat Ameit. That's what it means, Yatsa. Yatsa doesn't mean just he left. It means he left and did the Tara process. Ela nichnasu do Elohim lo min minyan, lo nichnas in Elohim min minyan. Now, if you read the Mishnah, it sounds like when he goes out, so now we explain going out means he became Tahor. Then it says, v'nichnas, if he goes back in, olim lo min haminyan, they count. But why does he have to go back in for it to count? If he stays out, they count towards it. What does that mean? Lo mi bayi kamar. It's like, not only this. Lo mi bayi yatsa, ela afilu nichnas. Not only when he leaves, does the nazir or nazirut betara happen, but even if he goes back in, olim lo min haminyan. Amrulei Rav Kahana of Ravasi the Rav. Rav Kahana of Ravasi asked Rav, my time alone mefarshlan kahalein mile. Why didn't you explain to us like this? Why didn't you explain the mission to us in this manner? Amalahon amina duma lo tzrichito. I said maybe you knew that. You understood it. You didn't need me to explain it to you. That's what Rav says here. Again, as I noted, the Yushalmi says that Rav has a different opinion. And that's why Rav didn't explain them the Mishnah in this way, is because he doesn't think that's the right explanation of the Mishnah, but rather, as soon as you go out, you do become a Nazir, and therefore he explains differently than Shmuel. By leaving the Beit HaKvarot, it's enough of a lower level of Tumah that automatically the Nazir kicks in at that point. Again, according to the Rambam, that's a lot easier because you're not Tameh Tumah Tameh, so that'd be easier. Okay, now we go to the end of the Mishnah. Eliezer Omer Lo Bo Bayom, that the person, if they become Tameh on the first day that they exit, in that case, he says, you're not a Nazir Tameh until you've got 2 days under your belt because of the plurality that's used by Yamim HaRishonim. So based on that, Rabbi Lezer says, if you exit and go back in the same day, you will not be deemed a Nazir Tameh because you never really became a Nazir Tahor long enough to become a Nazir Tameh. Amar Ula. Lo amai Rabbi Lezer elu b'tameh shenazar. It's only a case when a person was in a Beit HaKvarot and took an Ed Nazirut. Aval b'Nazir Tahor shnitma. But when it comes to Nazir Tahor that became Tameh, afilu yom echad soter. Then even one day would be sufficient. We discussed this with regards to the Mishnah as to whether Rabbi Eliezer's opinion extends to a normal case of Nazir. Is it only true in this unique circumstance where he's in the Beit HaKvarot, takes an Nazirut, then he has to exit and get 2 days under his belt before he can become a Nazir Tameh. But in a regular Nizirut Tara, and that's what's being proposed here by Ula, then it wouldn't apply. Even on the first day, if you became Tameh, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you would be a Nazir Tameh. That's Ula's suggestion. Amar Rava, my time of the Rabbi Eliezer. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Eliezer's position? Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says, Ki Tameh Nizro. Because he took his Neder Nizirut B'Tuma. So what Rava is doing here is explaining Ula's position. Why does Ula think that Rabbi Eliezer's opinion only applies by a Nazir that took it bituma and not in another case? Is because the Pasuk says, Vitimei Rosh Nizno. And at the end of the Parshia of the Nazir Tamei, it says, Vayamim Rishonim Iplu, Ki Tamei Nizro. Ki Tamei Nizro, instead of saying Ki Yitma, or when he becomes Tamei, it says, because his crown was Tameh all along. His crown was Tameh all along. That sounds like he took the Neder Nizirut while he was in the Beit HaKvarot. And so because of that, Reb Ula believes that Rabbi Lezer's opinion is limited to the case where you take the Nizirut B'tumah. H.V. Abaye, is that really true? We're going to have here a Braita that seems to indicate otherwise. Hareini Nazir Meyom. Person takes the Neder Nizirut for 100 days. V'nitba B'tchila Meya. Becomes Tamei on the first day of his Nizirut, Yecholye Soter, you would think that undermines Nizirut, Tamal Omar, Yamim Rishonim, Yiplu, that the first days fall away, Achiyulo Yamim Rishonim, until there are multiple days in the beginning. Vizeh, Inlo Rishonim, and this one does not have, or this individual does not have, Rishonim, in the plural. Nitma Basof, Meah, you came to me at the end of the 100 days, Yecholye Soter. Again, you would think it would undermine the Nizirut. Tamal Omar, Vayamim HaRishonim Yiplu, that the first days fall away, Mechlal Di'ik Achronim, implying that there are days afterwards, there are latter days left, which again is a plurality, And therefore, you would need a minimum of 2 days in the end. So what the Braita suggests is that Rabbi Eliezer's opinion about the need for 2 days applies at the beginning of a Nizirut. You need a minimum of 2 days before you can become a Nazir Tameh. And at the back end of a Nizirut, you need a minimum of 2 days left in order to become a Nazir Tameh. V'zeh in lo achronim. This individual has no days afterwards because he's becoming Tameh on the last day. Tameh on the last day, doesn't have 2 days left. Now, if he became Tameh on the 99th day, then he has 2 days left. He has day 99, the remainder of day 99, plus day 100. Even though Rabbi Eliezer might believe in Mixata Yom Kukulo, until he exercises that right, or until it is Mixata Yom Kukulo, we're going to assume that there are 2 days left in that instance. So if he comes Tameh on day 99, that is Soterakol. Comes to me on day 100, it's not Soterakol, but you remember that earlier on in the Masechta, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer told us that if you become Tamei on the last day of your Nizirut, if it's a Nizirut, a Mirubah, if it's a longer Nizirut, then you have to keep 30 days. Because of the drush on the Pasuk about Yom Melot, if you come Tamei on your final day, then you have to add on only a 30-day Nizirut. So as Tosafot points out over here, the saying Eino Soter means it doesn't wipe it out the Gamrei. You still have a requirement of 30 days. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. So as far as Rabbi Eliezer is concerned right now, you need a minimum of 2 days in the beginning and a minimum of 2 days remaining in order to become a Nazir Tameh. If not, you just have to become Tohor and then finish up your count. That means if on day one he becomes Tameh, he's kept day one. So now when you start again, he only has to keep 99 days. He becomes Tohor. And then when he's finished with his process of Tara, he finishes up 99 days because he already got 1 day on his belt and it's not knocked off. Similar true, if he became Tameh on the last day, he just has to wait for his Tara. And then, according to Rabbi Eliezer, he has to do the 30 days because it happened on Yom Melot. So he has that minimum of 30 days, but once he's through with that, he's done with his Nizirut. Nitma b'yom mea chaserachat. You became Tameh on the 99th day. Yochalo yei soter. You would think it's not soter. That the first days fall away. Implying that there are days afterwards. He has multiple days where he already kept Vitara. And he also has days afterwards because he has 2 days left. He has the remainder of 99 plus 100. And here, if you're talking about a case of a Tamei who took a Neder Nizirut, then this cannot be relevant, this Braita. Midiktani, because the Braita says, Harini Nazir Meya, Vinitma Bitchilat Meya. And then he became Tameh in the beginning of his Meya. Biktani, Ajiulo Yamim Rishonim. It still says there that he requires a minimum of 2 days. If you're talking about a Nazir who took his Neder Bitum'ah, then what does it mean, Vinitma, he became Tameh? He is already Tameh. So if that's the case, if you believe, Ula, that the only case where Rabbi Eliezer says that you need a minimum of 2 days b'tara is in a case where you were Tameh in the beginning, then why do we have a case here in this Braita that says he took a Neder Nizirut 100 days? Vinitma became Tameh. For you, what do you mean became Tameh? He was already Tameh. And that's the only case where you believe you need Yamim Rishonim. The Braita implies that this is a Nazir starting b'tara, and then became Tameh on the first day of his Nizirut. And yet we still see that Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is it's not okay and it's not considered to be a Nazir B'tumah. Where it says, Tiyufta, it's a strong refutation of Ula's position. Now, the next Gemara is somewhat difficult because we have three different views within the Rishonim of how to explain the Gemara. But I'll read it what I think is the intuitive way, the way that I read it when I first read the Gemara, and then we'll talk about the other alternatives as to what or how people explain it. Rav Papa now poses a question and says, "Amar Rav Papa Abaye, Halein Yamim Dekamrinan. Those days that you said, the Nafichad Umatchilin train, does that mean it's a case where he kept the first day Bitara and then he began the second day? Odilma the Nafkin train Umatchilin Talato. Or maybe it's a case where he completes 2 days and then he started the third day. Lo Hava Biyode. Abaye did not have an answer to this question. What seems that Rav Papa is querying Abaye about is whether when we say that you need a minimum of 2 days, does 2 days mean 2 whole days? Or does 2 days mean the first day plus a little bit into the second day. Do we invoke Mitzvah Yom Kikulo here or not? So is it by the time he enters the second day, he's fine? Or is only once he's entered the third day, because then he's completed two full days, that's what Rabbi Elazar is demanding? That seems to be the question of the Gemara. So Abaye didn't have the answer. At the Shaila the Rova. So then he went and queried Rova about this. Amalei Yiplu Ktiv. It uses the word Yiplu. V'itzrich l'michtiv yamim. V'itzrich l'michtav Yiplu. The Torah over here says V'yamim arishonim Yiplu. So as the Rishonim point out here, you could have written the pasuk without the word Yiplu, and you also could have written out without the word Yamim. So now that I have both of these words, they teach me something. Dikatav Rachmana Yamim. Had the pasuk written Yamim, lo katav Yiplu, and not written Yiplu, Avamina, after Nafkin train, violent Lata. I would have thought Yamim means full days, and therefore it's 2 days, and then only on the third day do you become, or have the possibility of becoming Nazir Tameh. Kotav Rachmana Yiplu. So that's why the Torah writes the word Yiplu. Yiplu means any amount, whatever that amount is. Vikatav Rachmana Yiplu. And the Torah just read in Yiplu and not Yamim, but Loktiv Yamim, Avamina, Afilu Chad. That even on the first day would be enough. Yiplu just means that they will fall away. And the plurality, as Rishonim put over here, means all Nizirim would have this din. And that's what the Yiplu means. Kotav Rachmana Yamim, to tell you need a minimum of 2 days. But now the Yiplu takes those 2 days and says not two full days, but rather a day plus a little more. That's the simplest way to read the Gemara over here. And that is one of the ways that Tosafot reads it. On the other hand, Tosafot brings a shita from the Rabbeinu Tam, which is also brought in the Rosh, to explain this Gemara. And the Mefarish has also a different way to read it. First go with the Rabbeinu Tam, because it's very close to the way that we explain the Gemara. But basically what the Rabbeinu Tam says is, the question of Rav Papa over here is, do we compare Yamim Rishonim to Yamim Achronim? In the case of Yamim Achronim, by definition, there's going to be one whole day there. That is because whatever happened on the 99th day, that's Mikzat Hayom, that you became Tameh. The final day, day 100, is a full day. So that means when you become Tameh as a Nazir on your 99th day, then you have a day and a half left. And that, Rabbi Eliezer says, sufficient to make you into a Nazir Tameh, that's Yamim Achronim. Question is, do we apply that to Yamim Rishonim as well? Which means that, by definition, the first day is going to be a Mikzat Hayom. Because whenever you take the Nazirut, it's not at the moment the day starts. So it's somewhere into the day, and your first day is a half day. The question now is, on day two, does day two have to look like the day at the end of the Yamim Achronim, which means it has to be a full day? And therefore, you have to enter into the third day before you become Tamei. Or is it that the Yamim Rishonim parallel Yamim Achronim in the sense that you need two, but not that you need a full day? You can use a Machatzit Yom from the first day, a Machatzit Yom from the second day, and that's called 2 days, and that's enough. That's the question of the Gemara according to the Rabbeinu Tam. And then the Gemara asks the questions, whether the answer of Rava is you have Yiplu and you have Yamim. Yamim would have indicated, like you suggested, that we compare it to the Achronim, and you need a full day, plus the half of the first day. And Yiplu tells us, no, Yiplu means any amount, any 2 days. So that means a mix of the Yom from the first day, a mix of the Yom from the second day, that's 2 days, according to Rabbi Elazar. So then, according to those two opinions, the way we read it first, the way Rabbeinu Tam reads it, the conclusion of the Gemara is that you need only a mix of the Yom from the first day, a mix of the Yom from the second day, into the second day, and you can already become a Nazir Tameh, according to Rabbi Elazar. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. The Mefarish has the question posed almost in reverse. And therefore, based on that, his conclusion of the Gemara is that you actually require 2 full days. He has the opposite conclusion of the Gemara because of the way that he reads it. So he says here, Aliba de Rabbi Elazar. So I'm like, Yipluktiv. It says Yiplu. And he says here, the Mashman Dabon train Bidnifila. He says you need 2 days that fall away. So he seems to indicate the word Yiplu means 2 full days. Therefore, the word Yamim, according to the Mefarish, Yamim means any amount of day. Any amount of day would be sufficient. But that would mean that first day plus a portion of the second day, that's okay to Rabbi Elazar. Yiplu comes to tell you need full days to fall away. And so based on the Mefarish's reading of the Gemara, and you have to, he has a little girsa change based on his, you can see that his girsa is slightly different. Then the Gemara's contention is, Vimi katav yiplu, klomar, hava mina da'idech tiv yiplu, mashma kulu yamim, kshvar mana. or about Lato train or Chad. Whatever you counted till now is sufficient. I don't know how many. Yiplu just means full days. So whatever you counted till now, that's sufficient. One, five, four, doesn't matter what it is. Yamim comes to tell you there's got to be a minimum of two. But when you put those together, it means that Yiplu tells you full days, Yamim tells you two, you need two full days. And that's the conclusion of the Gemara based on that explanation of the Mefaresh, that you need two full days in the end. And we mentioned this with regards to the Mishnah when it came to Rabbi Lezer's opinion. The Bali Atosafot believed back in the Mishnah that all you have to do is enter into the second day in order for it to be 2 days of Tara, according to Rabbi Lezer. That's based on the way they read the Gemara here in the conclusion. But seemingly the Rambam and others seem to indicate, no, that it has to be two full days, and they are possibly reading the Gemara like the Mefaresh, who says that the word Yiplu means full days, Yamim means any amount. And therefore, the conclusion of the Gemara that Yiplu tells you full, Yamim tells you two, you have to keep two full days in order to become a Nazir Tamei, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Right? So we had three explanations of the Gemara. Again, according to the first two explanations, the conclusion of the Gemara is you just need Mixat Yom Kaluah on the first day, finish off that day, and Mixat Yom Kaluah on the second day, the morning, and that's enough. That's already Yamim. And Yiplu narrows that down to say that any amount is sufficient. According to Mefaresh, yes, you need 2 days. Yiplu means full days. And therefore, you need to finish up the first day, finish the whole second day, and then only into the third day will you have the possibility of becoming Nazir Tamei. All right, now, next Mishnah. Mi shenazar nizirut harbei. So here, a person who took, now, when they use the word nizirut harbei, it's not the traditional Hebrew. Harbei would mean a lot of niziriyot, multiple nidrei niziriyot. Over here, that's not what the Mishnah means. You can see that by the continuation of the Mishnah. It means that he took a long neder nizirut, not a standard 30-day nizirut. V'hishlim et niziruto. And he finished it up, his nizirut, in Chutz La'aretz. V'achar kach ba la'aretz. And then he comes into Eretz Yisrael. Now, as Tosafot points out, it's not just that he happens to come into Eretz Yisrael. He must come to Eretz Yisrael to bring the korbanot of his nizirut. It means lav dafka that he came, but rather he will come to Eretz Yisrael. When he comes to Eretz Yisrael, b'chamayim omim nazir shloshim yom. He has to keep a nizirut of shloshim yom inside of Eretz Yisrael. B'tel omim nazir b'tchila. You start over. That's it. The nizirut you did in Chutz La'aretz does not count, and you got to do a whole new nizirut inside of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara will discuss why or what the reason behind this is, and we'll see that in a moment. Masa behilni amalka. There was an incident with Hilni Amalka. We have other stories throughout the Shas that she was generally positively predisposed towards the Chachamim and Halacha, and therefore you see her interacting with the Chachamim. Shalach bina l'milchama, her son went out to wage war. If my son returns whole, as long as he comes home, in one piece, I'll be a nizira for 7 years. Imagine, this is a extended period of time to be a nizira for 7 years. And sure enough, her son returns unscathed from the battle. She was a nizira sheva shanim, but b'chutz la'aretz. Ubisof sheva shanim alta la'aretz. After 7 years, she then ole la'aretz, ve'urua beit hilel, she'tei nizira od sheva shanim, acherot. Beit hilel l'shitanam told her, gotta keep another 7 years. Because you now enter into Eretz Yisrael, and that's the shita beit hilel. Ubesov sheva shanim, at the end of her 7th year, for the second time around, nitmeit. She became etmea. Ve'nimtzeit nizira 21 shana. Therefore, she had to keep Nizirut for 21 years. 7 years b'chutz la'aretz, 7 years when she entered Eretz Yisrael, and when she entered Eretz Yisrael, she became Tmei on the last day, which was Soter, her Nizirut, and therefore, she had to keep another 7 years. So he had 21 years. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, lo hayta nizira l'arba'as reshana. She was only a Nizira for 14 years, not 21 years. The Gemara tomorrow will discuss what exactly Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is. Now the Gemara wants to understand, what is this machloka between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai about? So Ktani Reisha, and obviously the Gemara here, when it discusses a Mishnah, usually it discusses the Mishnah in order, chronologically. And therefore, it's Ktani Reisha is not necessary over here, because we didn't interrupt with anything else. We didn't speak about anything else, so why would you have to say Ktani Reisha? It's obvious that you're going to speak about the beginning of the Mishnah in the first piece of the Gemara. Therefore, if you look in the Rosh over here, he says, You don't have to say that. It's unnecessary to say that. Dareisha kamina, because that's what we're talking. We're starting the Gemara. Of course, we're talking about the beginning of the Mishnah. Ella de shita nazir mishuneh. But Masechet Nazir has these unusual terminologies, languages that are in it. And therefore, this is just not an example of language that would not be used anywhere else in Shas. It's unnecessary. But in Masechet Nazir, they do have it there. So it doesn't have any meaning in terms of our discussion. Beit Shammai omrim nazir shloshim yom. Beit Hillel omrim nazir bitchila. That's their machloket. Lema baha kamiflegei. Let us suggest that this is their machloket. Right now we're going to read it with the girsa that we have in our Gemara, which is the girsa that the Mefaresh explains. And then we'll see that the Balei HaTosafot and the Rosh favored an alternate girsa because it accords with other Gemarot that we have in Shas. So right now we're going to read it. The Beit Shammai Sabrei Eretz Amim Mishum Gusha Gazru Alea. There is a Zerah Takanat Chachamim that Eretz Amim, Chutz Laretz, is deemed to be Tamei. That means, without ever coming into any contact with Tumah, the mere fact that you're in Chutz Laretz makes you Tamei. Why is a good question. Some of the Rishonim suggest because we are afraid of the Meitim that are buried there in Chutz Laretz. Whether that means that, this is according to the Shita, that believes that even non-Jews have Tumah to Ohel, or they believe that even without Tumah to Ohel, because of the way that they buried their Meitim, or sometimes haphazard burying of Meitim and not careful about Tumah, that you could come into contact with the Meit without even noticing. Or is it just a, call it a theoretical Tumah, which is, we see in Sefer Yoshua, that when B'nai Gad of B'nai Ruvain, after they take their chelek in Chutz Laretz, and they fought inside of Eretz Yisrael, they're returning to Chutz Laretz, go back to their homes. Over there, they put up a Mizbeach. When they put up the Mizbeach, the B'nai Yisrael panic that all of a sudden they're trying to set up a new place of worship, and that they're separating themselves from Shiloh, where everybody else is, and they send emissaries over to see, what are you doing? How could it be that you're worshiping and you're leaving God? Look what's happened. Look what's happened in the past when we left God. B'nai Gad, the B'nai Reuven over there, say, no, we're just trying to put up a monument so that you guys remember that when we're on the other side of the Yarden, we're still part of you and part of Eretz Yisrael. Because what's going to happen is the next generation, 200 generations from now, they're going to forget, and they're going to say there's this river between us, and we're in the Eretz HaKdosha, and you guys aren't a part of it. So we're putting up this Mizbech as a siman that we're all one nation. There, when emissaries come to the B'nai Reuven and B'nai Gad and Chatziv Yishev and Menasheh, they say to them, if the land that you live in is Eretz Tameah, that it's not something that you want, it's a Eretz that is Tameh, then come and join us over here in Eretz Yisrael. And in Perach of Bet, Pasuk Yutet, they say, V'ach, im Tameah, Eretz Achuzatchem, Ivru lachem el Eretz Achuzat Hashem, Asher Shachan Sham Mishkan Hashem, V'achazu betocheinu, Uba Hashem al Timrodu. Votanu al timrodu bivnotechem lachem mizbeach mi baladei mizbach Hashem elukeinu. But you see over there that they deem Chutz Laretz as an Eretz Tmea. Similarly, in Amos, there's a pasuk that also calls it Eretz Tmea outside of Eretz Yisrael. And so therefore, it's a spiritual connotation that when you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're in the Eretz HaKdosha, and that's the Eretz HaTaora. When you're in Chutz Laretz, then you're in Eretz HaTmea. So it's not necessarily Tumah Mishad Chashash of real Tumah, like we explained before of Tumah Tameh, but rather a connotation about Eretz Amim and living outside of Eretz Yisrael, the implications of living outside Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they were Betakeno Guzer, that those lands are deemed to be Tameh. It's a Gezera was that it has that didn't like Tumah Tameh, which would make sense. That if you call it Eretz HaTmeah, then what does Eretz HaTmeah mean? It means it's a place where God isn't. God is found in Eretz Yisrael. He's not found in Chutz Laretz. Now, obviously, that's not true in terms of a global statement. God's everywhere. But we know the pasuk in Parshat Ekev says, "Tamid enei Hashem elokach haba mirishit hashana ad acharit shana." One of the sources that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah brings for the fact that Rosh Hashanah is Yom Adin, that mirishit hashana, you'll know what happens at acharit hashana. But that means that Hashem has constant interaction and hashkacha over Eretz Yisrael, which is not true in Chutz Laretz. And we know that Chazal, and Rashi quotes this in Sefer Dvarim, that kol adar b'chutz laretz, kilu either ovid or zera, ein lo eloka. That anybody who lives in Chutz Laretz as if he doesn't have a God, or as if he's worshiping avodah zera. I mean, the absence of the presence of God makes it that the Eretz Amim are Tzmeim versus Eretz Yisrael, which is Tahor. The same thing with Tumat Tameit. Why is a person Tameit Tumat Tameit? That is because beforehand they were a person of Kedusha, they had a Neshama that was inside of them, spiritual peace of Hashem that's inside of them, and that's what gives them Kedusha and Tahara. The absence, the vacuum created by the Neshama leaving the body, makes it a Tameit Tumat Tameit. So if I was to parallel between Eretz Amim and a cadaver, a niftar, that would be it. The lack of the presence of Hashem, the lack of that kedusha, makes it the tuma fills the void. So if you were gozer or mitakin on Eretz Amim tuma, that's the way you would make it like tumata meit, which is the absence of the presence of Hashem. So whether it's again a real takana about tumata meit, or whether it's a figurative takana because the lack of the presence of Hashem in those areas, there's a machloket as to what the nature of that gezerah was. Was the gezerah only on the physical land, meaning that you have to come in contact with the land itself, you have to touch the land? Or was it even bavira? Even the airspace was deemed to be tamei. Obviously, their example was shidat teva migdal, if a person enters without touching the ground. In our day, it would be the equivalent of taking an airplane. Or you fly over, are you tamei? Is it only gushai to come in contact with the ground, or is it even avira? The way that our Gemara terms it is Beit Shammai sabrei Eretz Amim mishum gushai gazruala. Beit Shammai says that the takanat chachamim is only about the land itself. But Hillel sabrei mishum avira gazruala. Not only about the land, but even the airspace. So what the suggestion of the Gemara is, according to the Mefarash, is that Beit Shammai thinks that the takanat gazerah tuma in Eretz Amim is a regular gezerah, just on the land, on contact with the object. Whereas Beit Hillel has this super chumrah view of Tuma and Eretz Amim, which is, not only is the land, but even the airspace is Tameh. So similar to their views about Tuma and Eretz Amim, it affects the Nizirut. Beit Shammai says, look, it's regular Tuma, it's not such a unbelievably high level of Tuma or gezerah. Therefore, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, just keep 30 days. On the other hand, Beit Hillel says, this is a very strict, stringent type of takana, that not only does it affect the gusha, it even affects avira. It affects avira, it means it's a real chumrah, and it's a very stringent type of takana. Therefore, not only does it occur 30 days from your nizirut, it makes you start over your nizirut when you enter into Eretz Yisrael. My answer is, well, to kuliyama mishum gusha gazrula, no, everybody agrees that the tumah is only on physical contact with the ground. But Shammai Sabri, Mistam Nizirut, Kanisna, this is all a kanas, this is all a fine from the Chachamim for taking your Neda Nizirut in Chutz La'aretz. Therefore, the fine is when you come into Eretz Yisrael, the penalty is that you keep a Nizirut of 30 days. B'Tel Sabri, Ki Kanisna, B'Tchilat Nizirut. That the kanas, or the penalty imposed on you, is a full Nizirut. So then, they're not arguing about the nature of Tuman Chutz La'aretz. They're arguing about the nature of the penalty that Chazal imposed on you if you took a Neda Nizirut in Chutz La'aretz. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, what is the penalty that you have to go through? Beit Shammai says 30 days. Beit Hillel says full Nizirut again. That is the girsa of the Mefarash, the girsa that we have in our Gemara. The Bali and Tosafot have a girsa which is just the opposite. And one of the questions that the Tosafot has over here is, even according to Beit Shammai, if they believe that the tuma is only mishum gusha, why should that matter in terms of being okra nezirut, only making it 30 days versus a full nezirut? And therefore they don't like that havamina in the Gemara, and therefore they have a chenira de grasinan ipcha. The girsa is just the opposite. Beit Shammai savri mishum avira gazru. Beit Shammai says that in Chutz La'aretz not only was there a tuma on the land, there's tuma even in the airspace. Vechmiru beretz amim. Beit Hillel savri mishum gusha gazru. And Beit Hillel says that they were only gozer mishum gusha. Bim tomar. So now, why if Beit Shammai is more machmir, the gabei, the tuma and Eretz Amim, are they more mekio by nazir? Because what it shows you is that when you have the tuma of the avir, that we're not really associating it with tumata meit. Since not only are you making it tamei by tuma of nigya, of touching the ground, but even tuma of the avir, just the mere airspace of Chutz La'aretz is tamei. And therefore, Dein Achanami came the Yechmiru Balikzor La'avira, Galbui La'kol, Oto Tumah Eino Ela Midrabanan. That shows you, or makes it clear, that Tumah is only Midrabanan. L'kach Sagilei Distor Shloshim Yom. That's why you only need a 30-day repeat when you come into Eretz Yisrael? Because everybody will know that the reason you're repeating your Nizirut inside of Eretz Yisrael is because of this Takanat Chachamim. And we know it's a Takanat Chachamim because it's not like regular Tumat Amet. It has Tumat Gusha and Tumat Avira. And therefore, Lo Michlefa B'Tumat Doraita. You're not going to confuse that with a regular Tumat Doraita and Tumat Amet. But Beit Hillel says that the Gezerah was only on Gusha, only on the land itself. And since Eretz Amim will get confused with Kvarot, with graves, or contact with Tumat Amet, therefore when you come back into Eretz Yisrael, then you have to take a full Ned and Nizirut over again, so that people understand that when you come into contact with Tumat Amet or Kvarot, that's what's going to happen. You have to redo your Nizirut. And so too, the Takanat Gezerah of Eretz Amim, we're going to force you to keep a full Nizirut again, as if you became Tamei Tumat Amet, because they look very similar. And that's the Shita of Beit Hillel. The Rosh over here points out that even though we're asking you now to postpone the completion of your Nizirut, you finished your Nizirut in Chutz Laretz, and now we're asking you to postpone the completion of it, and in a sense, you're in violation of Baal Te'acher, of delaying or tearing your Nizirut. It's possible that you take a Nizirut that's long enough that if you have to start over again in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to pass over the term limit for bringing your Korbanot, for being a Nazir. Nevertheless, we say that's fine, because Yesh Koach B'Yad Chachamim L'Kor Advar Min HaTorah B'Shei V'Al Taseh. Chachamim have the ability to be Oker Advar Min HaTorah as long as it's done passively. And over here, that's what you're doing. You're not bringing your Korbanot. You're passively violating Baal Te'acher. And Chachamim have that power to force you to, in a sense, violate Baal Te'acher, or to say that it's not a violation of Baal Te'acher, and have you take on a new Neder Nizirut. So then the Gemara's conclusion is, according to this version, is not the Kuliyama Mishum Gusha Gazru, but rather the Kuliyama Mishum Avira Gazru. Everybody agrees that the Takanat Tuman Eretz Amim is an unusual Gezerah. It's not only in the land itself, but the airspace, and everybody knows it's a Din Derabanan. Well, if everybody knows it's a Din Derabanan, why be Oker the Nizirut the Gamre? Only be Oker 30 days. The answer is Knas. So the question is the nature of that Knas. The Beit Shammai says the nature of that Knas is 30 days because it's easy to discern between the Tumah of Eretz Amim versus regular Tumat Amet. Whereas Beit Hillel says that even though it's obvious that this is a Din Derabanan, the Knas is similar to Tumat Amet, which in general we find by Dinei Derabanan, we try to find a paradigm Doraita. The paradigm Doraita that we're following is Tumat Amet. Just like by Tumat Amet, it's Soter Kol. So to over here, it'll be Soter Et HaKol. Now we explain this all according to the Rova Rishonim. The Rambam in Perashat Mishnayot actually has an unusual or different view of what happens over here. And that is, he starts out the Perashat Mishnayot like this. HaNizirut Yafshar B'Chutz Laretz. It's impossible to complete a Nizirut in Chutz Laretz. Rimei HaTumah. As opposed to the other Rishonim who believe that when you're in Chutz Laretz, you keep your Nizirut and you've accomplished it, you're done. But when you enter into Eretz Yisrael, you have to repeat it because of the penalties. The Rambam says you are unable to do the Nizirut in Chutz Laretz. And now when you come into Eretz Yisrael, that's when you start your Nizirut. He says, well, what I'm saying isn't necessarily true because the Tosefta says you have in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz, you have Nizirut. Rutzo nomar, shekol mi chayev atzmo Nizirut b'Chutz Laretz nitchayev b'zeh al tzad kaknas. Meaning that if you take another Nizirut, then you have to keep it. That's both in Eretz Yisrael, where it's chal on you, and in Chutz Laretz, where it's not chal. It doesn't work. Basically, what the Rambam says, if you take another Nizirut in Chutz Laretz, it doesn't work. Ah, why do you have to keep Nizirut when you come into Eretz Yisrael? The Chamin put a knas on you. Because you took another Nizirut, therefore, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, keep a Nizirut. What type of Nizirut? That's Vikach, Yalel Eretz Yisrael, Yitchayev Sham B'Nizirut. V'zeh Shenedar B'Chutz Laretz, V'chamei Yomim Yeh HaKnas, Shenechayev Ustam Nizirut, that you'll be a Stam Nizirut in Eretz Yisrael. That's Lamed Yom. And Beit Hillel says you have to do whatever you said. So according to other Rishonim, your Neder takes effect in Chutz Laretz Midoraita, and you keep Nizirut alright in Chutz Laretz. Just when you came in, the penalty is to do a new Nizirut in Eretz Yisrael. Then the question of what duration, is it 30 days or the full amount? The Rambam on the other hand says when you take a Neder Nizirut in Chutz Laretz, it doesn't work. Midoraita, it doesn't work. You can't take a net in Zivut in Chutz La'aretz. What the Tosefta says you can. The Tosefta says you can take a net in Zivut in Chutz La'aretz, and we're going to penalize you that it's chal. According to the Torah, it's not chal at all. But when you come into Eretz Yisrael, it will be chal, and it will be chal because that's the penalty. That even though when you took it in Chutz La'aretz, it had no meaning, nevertheless, we penalize you that since you took a net in Zivut, then we're going to make you keep it when you come to Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean, we're going to make you keep it? Beit Shammai says, we'll make you keep a stam nizirut. Tosefta says, no, we're going to make you keep you whatever neder nizirut that you took. But Rama has a very different view, a completely different view of what the issue is here. All the other Rishonim say you have a real neder, and you can accomplish nizirut, it's just a penalty. The Rama says you don't have a neder here, and the penalty is that we make you keep a nizirut, even though your neder did not take effect. Okay, we're going to stop here for the two dots on the top of Chof Amud Aleph.